Appreciate your presence this evening, and we're looking forward to a study. I want to talk with you tonight about the majesty of God. Such a wonderful tribute to be able to speak of the majesty of God, and the number of things I want to say about that, because we do recognize indeed that He is worthy of majesty. In Psalms 145 and verse 5, I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. That was David speaking of that. The word majesty comes from a Latin word. Words mean major or magnus. And the word majesty means greatness. It speaks of the dignity and power ascribed to a sovereign. So we look up to a sovereign. We look up to somebody who has majesty, and we are beneath them. In the New Testament, majesty is translated from the word megalosune. The word means great or greatness. And we use that in our language today, mega. And we use that word a lot in a lot of ways. In the Old Testament, the majesty was translated from a number of Hebrew words. One of them means splendor. And you think about going to heaven and seeing what the book of Revelation describes. And it's impossible for finite minds to really grasp the splendor of heaven. And the splendor that is of heaven comes from its God who is there in all of His majesty. And when one refers to splendor or lifting up things that are lifted up, and so we lift up God in our thoughts because He is so wonderful and so majestic in the things. And so when speaking then of majesty, we're trying to express God's greatness. Our words are very limited when it comes to trying to describe God, but I recognize that the word majesty includes some of that. It's a word of praise, acknowledging the attributes of God, that which makes God who He is, that which makes Him greater than and lifted up above man. And we don't look at other men like this. This is the only place where we would look that, looking toward God. And it's also associated with the invitation to worship God because He is great. And thinking about this lesson, I wanted to go back to the book of Genesis and just read chapter 1 to think about the majesty of God and His mighty works. Because He spoke and it was done. And the Holy Spirit and Jesus were there with Him in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. I read a commentary where it said that the word hovering has the idea of a bird fluttering its wings, and this spirit energy is what gave the universe its energy and form. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. As an aside, I read recently in a scientific journal that there's a huge amount of water underneath the earth within the globe. And when you think about the flood of Noah's day, people wonder where that water came from. And there's no doubt in my mind that it occurred. Again, that was a mighty work of God. God called the firmament heaven, so the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters He called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and morning were the third day. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. Let there be signs and seasons and for days and years. Let there be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. The evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and the beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. By the way, the phrase, each to its own kind, rules out evolution. And I'm just rejoicing to be able to read about the creation. God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seeds, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. It's been a while since I've read that in one reading like that. But you think about the enormous power of God and the majesty that it suggests when you talk about creating the heavens and the earth. And the phrase again and again, it was so. Nobody debated with God. Nobody argued with him. It was his wisdom, and it was so. And he made us in his own image. We have a spirit that we will know will be living in eternity. I was thinking about this morning when we have the Lord's Supper. And in a upside down sort of way, I think. It's ironic. But the idea that Jesus, the Creator, allowed man to kill him. Just think of that. The soldiers had no idea who he was. The Jews who crucified him really didn't understand who he was. And yet it was so majestic for him to yield and to submit, because he knew that every man had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and without his death we would never be saved. I don't think anything could be greater majesty than to understand that God came down to earth and became flesh. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. In verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. And you think of all that because he loved us that much, and that he was willing to die for mankind. The blood of Christ was so powerful that it could save every person on earth of all time if they would but turn to him. And you think about the majesty of that and the fact that he's our God. He allows us to call him Father. And he desires for us to live with him throughout an eternity. We were singing this song just a moment ago. will the meeting that we'll have over there, and just the thought of meeting Paul and Peter and Esther and the great Christians of the first century that died in order to keep their faith, and you recognize that all of the life of a Christian takes its majesty from God, who is our Father. And there's a majesty about the church because it's the body of Christ, and we think of these things. So God is lifted up on high. This does not mean that God is far from us or out of reach. He is near us. In Acts chapter 17, in the city of Athens, the Apostle Paul declared that he was not far from us, and that but he's appointed a day of judgment. And we do understand that he's not far from us. We can speak to him anytime, anywhere. He'll listen to us. It means that God is far above us in greatness, to be adored and respected. He's not our equal, he's our superior. He's of higher rank. And the words from the Latin, he is the major, the magnus, the mega. And we try to find words that would just describe who God is and give him the glory that is due to him. And that's a wonderful thing. The proper response to God's majesty, let's turn to Psalms chapter 145, because I want to know how to handle that and to be with him the way I should and to respect him the way I should. I just cannot imagine that people slapped him, that people spit on him, that they put a crown of thorns on his head, and the blood would have gushed forth. Head will bleed when something happens to it like that. I think of him being scourged. And he said, I could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't do it. And so we have to learn to praise him. In Psalms 145, beginning of verse 1, I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, his tender mercies over all his works. I think of the majesty of God. And when Bobby Holmes was over in India, they have literally thousands and thousands of gods. And they have so much infidel worship. Bobby said he asked one taxi driver if any of his gods would die for him. And he said, no, but ours did. Ours did. And you think of them and all of those things that we're praising. And in verses 4 through 13, we proclaim his greatness to others. I want to begin with verse 10. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. In the book of Daniel, when the kingdom of God was prophesied, he said it would never end. There have been attempts to try to destroy the kingdom of God, but it has never occurred. And 2,000 years down the road, here we are. We are in the kingdom of God. And we praise God because we have understood that. And out of that, we come to trust him. Beginning in verse 14. I have to turn a page. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The word is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. And truly, here we are tonight doing that very thing. We're praising the name of God. We're remembering his mighty works, and we're willing to do that. And recognize that we've only touched the hem of the garment. There's so many more things we could say about Jesus and what he's done. And recognize that in Genesis chapter 1, the word God is plural. Let us make man in our image. And in the time of John the Baptist, when he baptized Jesus, there was Jesus in the water and the Spirit appearing upon him as the sign of a dove and the Father speaking from heaven, "This is my beloved Son." And so we do give praise to God, each one of them having their part in creation, each one of them having a part in salvation. People ask sometimes, "Well, you people in the Church of Christ, you don't believe in the Holy Spirit working, do you?" No, we don't believe in miracles today. But let me tell you, every time the Word of God is read, the Holy Spirit is working. This is not just a novel. This is not just fiction. This is the Word of eternal God. And every time somebody reads it, they can deny it to their peril, because the Spirit has filled the Word so that people can understand what they need to do. I recognize that I haven't been adequate tonight. There's no way I can really be adequate to talk about and praise God. But we want to glorify his name, and we do that in singing. We do that in prayer. We do that in study of his word. And we do that when we love one another, because God is love, and we cannot serve God without loving one another. There's a bind or a bond that ties us together. It's such a wonderful, wonderful thing to recognize that we're a part of the body of Christ, and that through our singing and prayers and study and life, we're glorifying God. If you're present tonight and you're not living as you should, think about the majesty of God and to recognize indeed that it's our privilege to be a part of his life, and to recognize that he will forgive us our sins through the blood of Christ. If you need to respond in any way, please let us know as we stand together and sing the invitation.